Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and anyone else out there who listens to this podcast, maybe if there's a dog or a cat in the room, hello to the dog or the cat as well. Hello to maybe any fish that might be listening, or any other pets at all that happen to be in the room while my voice is playing through the speakers. Basically, hello. Hello to everyone out there who's listening. This is Luke from Luke's English Podcast. That's a surprise, isn't it? I bet you weren't expecting that. So I hope you're well. It's been a little while since I recorded an audio podcast for you to listen to, but I'm doing one now, okay? And you're listening to it now. So that's good, isn't it? Yeah, it is. This podcast today is all about anecdotes. Anecdotes. What's an anecdote, Luke? That's what you're asking me. Well, an anecdote is like basically a little story which you tell as part of a normal conversation. So it could be like, for example, an amusing or funny story about an experience that you've had. Or it could be perhaps like an embarrassing story about something that happened to you. We use anecdotes a lot in our general conversation just to basically describe things that have happened to us. Think of them as amusing little stories which we tell our friends when we're having conversations, right? People use anecdotes all the time. So this podcast is about anecdotes. Difficult word to say. But I'll say it slowly for you so you can copy it. Anecdotes. Anecdotes. Or an anecdote. Or an anecdote. So this podcast is all about anecdotes. And I'm going to talk about, you know, what they are and what the features of an anecdote are. And then we're going to listen to a few anecdotes as well. And you'll pick up lots of really brilliant English, which you can go on to use and impress everyone that you meet. So anyway, what have I been doing recently? Well, let me just tell you about me, shall I? Well, I've been working, you know, I've recently taught a group of students on a Beck Vantage course. That's a business English certificate. They were all very good students. They did their test a couple of weeks ago. And I hope that they did well. I expect that they did because they're all definitely capable of passing the exam. So I'm looking forward to getting their results. Let's see, I've also been playing music. The school band did a concert last Friday and that was really good fun. It was just really good to watch lots of people dancing to the music. You know, I was sitting behind the drum kit playing the drums. We played for about 2 hours. So I was just playing, you know, constantly for a long time. But the best part of it for me was just sitting there playing and watching people dancing to the music and having a really good time. It was just fantastic. So also I've been doing my comedy. This is kind of like an experiment that I'm doing in my life at the moment. I'm just trying to learn how to be a stand-up comedian. And I'm trying to make audiences of people laugh. And that's been really interesting. It's going well, I think. I'm making people laugh. People are actually laughing, which is kind of a surprise. It's very exciting standing up in front of a room full of people with a microphone and talking to them and actually making them laugh. It's quite an exciting experience. It can be very frightening as well. It makes you very nervous. And so you need lots of energy just to do it because I'm sure you can imagine, just dealing with the nerves, dealing with the tension, takes a lot of energy. So that's quite exhausting. But that's still, you know, it's fun. And, you know, I've definitely learned that you just have to have fun in life. You've got to enjoy yourself. Because, you know, that's the first rule of life, really. Just enjoy yourself. Well, actually, it's probably the second rule of life when you think about it. Because the first rule of life is, don't be dead, really. So second rule of life, just enjoy yourself. So first, don't be dead. Second, enjoy yourself. Well, actually, that enjoy yourself is probably the third rule. Because first you got don't be dead. Second is, get food, right? So first, don't be dead. Second, get food. Well, actually, first, you know, these days, to get food, you need money, really, don't you? So I guess it's probably, number one, don't be dead. Number two, get money, right? Number three, get food. Number four, enjoy yourself. So the fourth rule of life, just enjoy yourself. Well, actually thinking about it, you know, it's probably more like the fifth rule, because it's really difficult just to get money from nowhere, right? So, I mean, you need a job. You need a job first, really, don't you? So I guess it would be, don't be dead, get a job, then get money, then get food, then enjoy yourself, I suppose. Although it's probably quite difficult to just enjoy yourself when all you've got is like just a job and some food. I mean, so I guess what you need really is friends, don't you? You need some friends. Well, specifically, you know, particularly you need like, you know, a romantic partner, really. Someone that you can just share your life with. So, like, you know, like a girlfriend or boyfriend. So, you know, I guess that's it. It's like rule number one, don't be dead. Rule number two would be, get a job, right? Three, get money. Four, get food. Five, find a life partner. You know, find a girlfriend. Number six, get married to that person, right? Then as well, I guess you've got to, you know, it's, you know, once you got married, you've got to settle down, haven't you? So probably next, number seven, I guess, would be like, you know, buy a nice house in a good neighborhood, right? You know, get on the property ladder, basically, you know, just buy a house. So that's number seven. And then I guess it would be number eight, enjoy yourself. Although I guess these days, I mean, you can't really do anything, really. You can't even, how can you even have fun if, you know, you haven't got a good internet connection? I mean, you know, everything's on the internet now. So, and I can't imagine, you know, life without it, to be honest. So I suppose that would be number eight, you know, get a broadband internet connection. And, well, you'd probably need, like, an HD TV these days as well, really, just, you know, if you're going to have a good time. So get broadband, get an HD TV. I suppose another essential item was, like, a mobile phone as well. So, and once you've got the, you know, maybe get the broadband, get the TV, then just manage to negotiate a good mobile phone contract. Number 10? Rule 10, enjoy yourself. Thinking about it, there are other things too. I mean, you've got to look after your teeth, haven't you, really? Because, you know, I mean, it's very difficult to laugh when you've got a toothache. So look after your teeth. And I guess, well, you know, health. You've got to look after your health. Eat lots of fiber, right? Eat five portions of fruit or vegetables every day. That's essential. God, I'm thinking about it, there's lots of things. You've got to get enough sleep, at least 6 hours sleep. They say that sex is important. You know, before you can be truly happy, you know, you got to get your diet fixed. You've got to get regular sex. I guess these days, what with the carbon emissions, global warming, I mean, we all have a responsibility to sort of, you know, reduce the carbon footprint. So I guess next would be like insulate your home. insulate your home, then you can enjoy yourself, I suppose. Yeah, so what's like rule number 13 or rule number 14, just enjoy yourselves. So I think that's what I've learned, you know. It's very important to enjoy yourself. It's at least the 14th rule of life. So, you know, yeah. So anyway, let's move on. Let's move on, shall we? Enough ridiculous nonsense. Let me tell you about anecdotes. Okay, so what is an anecdote? I've kind of already explained that. It's the little story which you tell your friends usually as part of a natural conversation. And it's usually about an experience that you've had. And characteristics of anecdotes are that usually they're quite funny. They're meant to be amusing. They contain a story. So that means that when you're telling an anecdote, you describe some kind of narrative. So probably it would involve using like past verb tenses, narrative verb tenses. Sometimes people tell anecdotes using present tenses as a way of making the story more immediate and more exciting. But basically, they usually contain some kind of story. They include lots of descriptive details, like, for example, exactly what happened, exactly what it looked like, and so on. So that means using lots of descriptive vocabulary in order to make your anecdote sound more interesting and amusing, right? So lots of descriptive details. They also include descriptions of the thoughts and feelings of the person involved. So it's, you know, it really allows the listener to get an understanding of what it felt like for the person who is telling the anecdote. So descriptions of thoughts and feelings. Some details in anecdotes are exaggerated. Exaggerated means that they are made bigger than they actually are. And this is a common feature of an anecdote. Often when someone tells the anecdote many times, each time they tell it, they exaggerate it a little bit more. So the experiences become a little bit bigger, a little bit more exciting, a bit more descriptive, a bit more detailed, and until eventually it becomes quite a hilarious story, for example. And it's quite acceptable to exaggerate your anecdotes, because really the main reason you're doing it is because it just makes good conversation. It's just funny conversation. So often the details in anecdotes are exaggerated. And often an anecdote will involve some kind of comment at the end. For example, you know, what you've learnt from the experience, or what you think of the situation now, or maybe, you know, like what that helped you to learn about that time of your life or something. So what you're going to do now is listen to an anecdote by... Well, in fact, you're going to listen to a couple of anecdotes by a couple of BBC radio DJs. Now, they're called Adam and Joe. And basically, I've stolen this little recording from their podcast. So I know that that's kind of cheating, that I'm using someone else's podcast on my podcast. But, you know, just think of me as like the Robin Hood of podcasts, stealing from the BBC and giving to the world. And I think it's all right, because this podcast wasn't broadcast on the BBC. It was broadcast by another radio station about 3 or 4 years ago. It was provided on a free podcast, so I think it's all right. Anyway, Adam and Joe, they're DJs and comedians from the UK. They broadcast a podcast now every week on the BBC. I will add a link to the podcast so you can check it out. Basically, to give you a bit of background information to Adam and Joe, they have known each other since they were children, so they're very good friends. They both grew up together in London, and they became famous for making comedy television programs and radio shows. Adam Buxton is also an actor who has been in some British films like Hot Fuzz, Stardust, and Son of Rambo. You've probably never heard of those films, but they're quite famous here in Britain. Joe Cornish works in Hollywood as a screenwriter, and he's currently writing the screenplay for the new film Tintin. So they're both quite well-established comedians in this country, and you're going to listen to them having a conversation about petty crime. Petty crime just means kind of low-level crime, not very important crimes. So not murder, not drug dealing. We're talking about things like little cases of theft. So maybe like when a child steals a chocolate bar from a shop, you know, that's considered to be petty crime, low-level crime. Okay, so what you're going to do is listen to the conversation, and first you're going to listen to Adam's anecdote. And Adam tells a story about a petty crime experience that he had when he was a child. And I'd like you to try and answer these questions. I'll also print these questions on the podcast. Here they are. Number one, where was Adam when this happened, and why was he there? Number two, how does Adam know this happened when he was incredibly young? Number three, what was lying on the floor and how did it get there? Number four, why did Adam think it was free? Why did he think it was free? Number five, what was Adam doing when his dad found him? Number six, what did Adam's dad say when he realized Adam had stolen the chewing gum? Right? So, what did Adam's dad say when he realized Adam had stolen the chewing gum? And number seven, how did Adam's dad make his point? And number eight, what exactly happened to the chewing gum? So those questions are printed on the website. You can check them out, teacherluke.podomatic.com. You can see the questions. So try to get answers to those questions as you listen. Okay, so here it is. Here's Adam's anecdote. Oh, and by the way, I'll give you the answers to those questions at the end of the recording. And also, I'll explain a lot of the vocabulary that Adam uses in his story, because I expect you won't understand everything. Don't worry if you don't understand everything. You can listen to it again, and I will explain everything for you, and then everything will be fine. So here it is, Adam Buxton's story.
And this week I was thinking about petty crime, Joe Cornish.
Now, well, you were always thinking about petty crime,
aren't
you?
That's true.
Do you think, fingers, Buxton.
Do you think of me as a bit of a crim?
No.
No, okay, good, good. Because, you know, I've done a bit of theft in my time.
We're not talking about real theft, right?
No, absolutely not.
We're not talking about... No.
Because we strayed into...
We're talking about kind of childhood petty theft, right?
Yeah, these are crimes that you commit sort of on a kind of instinctive basis.
Yeah, and we don't condone it. In fact, if you enter this text competition, we might pass your details on to the coppers.
Yeah, exactly. We certainly don't want to hear about any kind of stealing from people's houses or anything like that. We're just talking about low-level criminal activity.
Hit us with your story, Adam.
Well, my introduction to the shady world of crime came when I suppose I must have been about four or five. This is one of my formative memories.
Right.
Earliest memories that I've got stashed away in my brainium. And we were at the corner shop. This is in the days when my ma and pa used to smoke.
I know the corner
cigs.
Shop.
Yeah. So we lived in Earl's Court, and we were at the corner shop. My dad was buying some cigs. And I know that I was incredibly young because the only shelf I could see was the absolute bottom shelf. I couldn't see anything above that. And that's where all the sweeties were. And someone had knocked a packet of Wrigley Spearmint gum off the shelf and it was just lying on the floor.
Calling your name.
Yeah, and I was the only one down there at that level. Mm. And I was looking at it, I was thinking, free gum, free gum. It's not on the shelf. And I remember very clearly the logic process that I used to lie to myself to justify this theft. Because even at that stage, I knew that it would be stealing. But I remember thinking, it's fallen off the shelf. They don't want it anymore. It's broken, and they can't sell that.
Yeah, the floor is no man's land.
Yeah,
isn't that actually legally true? I think that anything on any floor anywhere is anybody.
Yeah.
If it's on a shelf, that, it's different. It belongs to the owner. But
the
floors are free. They're like beaches.
Yeah.
You know, and the sea.
That's
anyone
what Ronnie
can
Biggs
have them.
Said in his defence, I believe.
Is it?
It was on the floor!
The gold fell on the floor!
Well, look, what's the problem? I don't understand the problem. It was on the floor!
So, anyway, cut a long story short, I shoved the wriggles in my pockles and got home and went into my room. And, you know, and I was fairly brazen about it because I didn't believe I'd committed a massive crime. But my
even
dad.
Even though you had.
Even though I had. I've done a bit of stealing of wriggles. Mm. And my dad found me. Happily chomping some wriggles.
Tricky to get rid of the evidence, right?
Yeah.
Chew it. You shouldn't swallow it either, because it just comes out the other end exactly the same.
Exactly.
And the police can forensic it.
Yeah. And he said, where did you get this gum? I didn't buy you any chewing gum. You're not allowed gum. And I said,
it was in the... Oh, I got it in... It was on the floor. It was broken.
And he said, you've just stolen something. This is stealing, Adam. You stole this. You didn't pay for it. We could go to prison. If the police found out, you could go to prison.
There are kids in prison for stealing gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come out and they're all...
I think there's a Wrigley's prison.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're all messed up when they come out. And apparently, yeah, it's awful in the Wrigley's prison. There's gum everywhere.
There is gum everywhere.
Anyway, so I was very freaked out. And to make his point even more... forcefully, my dad burnt the gum.
Well, your dad always does weird things at the end. Why did he burn the gum? Gum's not even flammable, is it?
Well, exactly. It took ages. All the gum kind of... I sat there.
Why don't you burn... It's like a sort of a hellfire response, isn't it? It's like he's a Baptist minister.
That's right.
You shall not chew the gum! Watch it burn, my thieving friend! And then consider whether you'd like some more Wrigley's. Watch the gum melt... And the foil failed to burn, and then consider
if and that's what it was like. The foil just went all charcoaly, and the gum just kind of melted and gummed up.
It had
up.
A kind of barbecue flavour. It was even nicer.
It smelt minty.
Did it?
It still smelled minty.
Minty flames.
Yeah, and the minty flames went on for ages.
Mint flavoured flames.
Double any other length of gum, I would say, if it was burned. Anyway, so I'm curious to know if anybody else has.
So this is kind of like the most pathetic thing you've ever stolen.
Yeah, pathetic.
Is it, or is it like the thing you stole as a child that made you understand that stealing was wrong? Because I stole a Batcopter.
Did you?
Okay, we'll stop there. Now, if you didn't understand that, don't worry, because I'm going to explain everything for you now. First thing, I'm going to answer those questions that I gave to you, and then I'll explain the story in my words, and then I'll actually explain some of the vocabulary that Adam used in his story. So that was, if you like, just a really natural conversation between two native English speakers, very, very authentic, quite fast, and they've got quite a specific sense of humour. So if you didn't understand, that's all right, that's normal, that's natural. Hopefully, at the end of this podcast, you will understand it, and you'll be able to listen to it again, and then really enjoy it, like, you know, a native speaker would enjoy it. Okay, so first question was, where was Adam when this happened and why was he there? Well, it happened at the corner shop, and he was at the corner shop with his parents, because this was in the days when his parents used to smoke cigs or smoke cigarettes, and they were at the corner shop. He was with his dad, I think, at the corner shop because he was buying some cigarettes. Okay, so the second question is, how does Adam know this happened when he was incredibly young? Well, it's because he could remember that the only shelf that he could see was the bottom shelf, right? So the shelf is like, you know, what you use to put books and magazines on, right? You get them in shops, you get the bottom shelf, and the bottom shelf usually has newspapers and magazines on it. So, you know, the only shelf he could see was the absolute bottom shelf. So that's how he knew he was very young when this happened. Next question was, what was lying on the floor and how did it get there? Well, it was a packet of Wrigley's spearmint gum, or Wrigley's double mint gum, basically a packet of chewing gum, and someone had knocked it off the shelf. So maybe someone by accident had touched it with their hand or with their arm, and it had fallen onto the floor. So someone had knocked it off the shelf, and it was a packet of chewing gum. Okay, next question was, why did Adam think it was free? Well, he thought it was free because he just assumed that anything that was on the floor belonged to anyone, right? Because he thought that the floor was no man's land. No man's land means, like, usually we use no man's land in a war, and it's the land between the two armies, and nobody owns that land. So it's kind of like anything in that land is owned by anyone, right? So because he was young, he thought that because the chewing gum was on the floor, that the floor was like no man's land, and therefore nobody owned the chewing gum, so he thought that he could just take it legally. How wrong he was. Next question, question number 5, is what was Adam doing when his dad found him? Well, Adam said that he was chomping the Wriggles. That means he was chewing. He was chewing the chewing gum and when his dad found him. So, he had the chewing gum in his mouth and he was chewing it when his dad found him. Next question, number 6, what did Adam's dad say when he realised Adam had stolen the gum? Well, his dad said, this is stealing, Adam, and you could go to prison. You could go to prison for stealing. So basically his dad was quite, what's the word for it, quite strict. And he reacted quite strongly to Adam stealing the chewing gum. And he said, you could go to prison, which is not true. They don't send little children to prison for stealing chewing gum. I don't think they do anyway. Then the next question, number 7, how did Adam's dad make his point? Well, he made his point by burning the chewing gum. He burnt the gum, right? Number 8, what exactly happened to the gum? Well, basically, the gum didn't really burn. It just melted. And the silver wrapper just went charcoal-y. Charcoal is like the kind of black residue that you get when something burns. You know, like when you burn wood, the black stuff that you get, that's called charcoal. And when you burn metal, you get like black residue, like dirt, black dirt on the metal, and you can call that charcoal, or it kind of, the metal goes charcoal-y. So the chewing gum just melted and the wrapper went charcoal-y. So that's it. That's basically what happened. Right. In order to just help you understand the story, I'm going to tell the story again, but in kind of plain English. Okay, so let's see. I'll do that. Just explain the story in plain English for you, and then I will go through the story again and explain some of the vocabulary that Adam used when he told his story. Okay, so basically, what happened was that Adam's first introduction to crime happened when he was about 4 or 5. He was at the corner shop with his dad, and this is when his mum and dad used to smoke cigarettes. They lived in a place called Earl's Court, which is in West London, and they were at the corner shop, and his dad was buying some cigarettes. He knows that he was incredibly young because the only shelf that he could see was the absolute bottom shelf, and that was where all the sweets, all the candy, in American English, all the sweets were. They were all on the bottom shelf. And he noticed that there was a packet of chewing gum on the floor. It was just sitting on the floor, just lying there. And it was lying there because someone had, by accident, knocked it onto the floor. So Adam saw the chewing gum on the floor, and he thought to himself, my God, it's free. This is free gum. I can just take this. Because, obviously, because it's fallen on the floor, nobody wants it. So it's free. So basically, he kind of lied to himself and convinced himself that it was okay to take the gum, because he just said, well, it must be free because no one wants it. So he took the gum and put it in his pocket. And then he went home and he was chewing the gum when his dad walked into his bedroom and found him chewing the gum. And he realized that Adam had not paid for the chewing gum. And he got angry with him and he said, Adam, what are you doing? You didn't pay for that chewing gum. You stole it. That's a crime. You could go to prison for that. And let's see. And then Adam's dad, in order to punish Adam, just to prove his point, he burned the gum. He set fire to it. But it was kind of, it didn't really do anything. It was really not very impressive, because the gum just melted and didn't really burn properly. And the silver wrapper just went charcoal-y. So it's just a kind of disappointment at the end of the story. So that's it. And apparently the smell, he remembers the smell, that it smelt minty, because it was kind of mint gum. He could smell it, and it smelt minty. So that's it. That's the end of the story. Now, to be honest, I think it's a funny story. Not really because of what happens, although I think it's quite funny that Adam's dad burned the gum. It's kind of a ridiculous reaction. But it's not really the events in the story. It's more just the way in which Adam tells the story that makes it funny. He just uses certain kinds of descriptive language, certain bits of vocabulary. He also uses his intonation, like his voice, quite well, and just makes references to certain things that make it an amusing story. Now, if you don't kind of understand the details, you probably don't think it's funny. But I understand all the details, and I think that any native speaker listening to that would find it quite amusing. So to help you to find it amusing, I'm going to try and explain some of the language which Adam used in the story. Okay, so I'll play a little bit of the story and then explain it. Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, so here's the first bit.
And this week I was thinking about petty crime, Joe Cornish.
Now, well, you were always thinking about petty crime.
That's
you?
True.
Do you think, fingers, Buxton.
Do you think of me as a bit of a crim?
No.
Do you think of me as a bit of a crim? Well, a crim is just another word for a criminal. It's kind of like a sort of slang way of saying criminal. So he's saying to Joe, do you think that I am a bit of a criminal? Do you think of me as a bit of a crim? And Joe says no.
No, okay, good. Because, you know, I've done a bit of theft in my time.
I've done a bit of theft in my time. Theft is just another word for stealing. So he means he's done some stealing in his time. in my time just means, you know, in my life, basically, in my history, not a good explanation, in my life, you know. So, you know, we use that when we're talking about our experience, you know, things like, you know, I've done quite a lot of traveling in my time. So we use it to kind of boast about our experiences in my time. Okay.
We're not talking about real theft, right?
No, absolutely not.
We're not talking about
we strayed into.
We're talking about kind of childhood petty theft, right?
Yeah, these are crimes that you commit sort of on a kind of instinctive basis.
Yeah.
Talking about childhood petty theft. Well, I've already explained what petty theft or petty crime means. Petty just means not very serious. So kind of. Not serious theft, not serious crime. And Adam says, these are crimes which you commit on a kind of instinctive basis. So when you do something instinctively, it means you just do it without thinking, right? A bit like the way animals do things, you know, like birds will fly south in the winter on an instinctive basis. They just do it without thinking about it. So it's kind of a funny way of explaining the way in which sometimes when you're a child, you commit crimes without really thinking about it. You just do it instinctively. You do it on an instinctive basis.
And we don't condone it. In fact, if you enter this text competition, we might pass your details on to the coppers.
We don't condone it. Well, to condone something means to support something. You know, effectively to say that, yes, we agree with this and we think it's a good thing. So we don't condone crime, we don't condone theft, means we don't encourage or support theft or crime, okay? And Joe says,
If you enter this text competition, we might pass your details on to the coppers.
Yeah, if you enter this text competition, we might pass your details on to the coppers. So they're talking about a text competition. That's just a radio competition in which you have to send SMS text messages. And Joe said, if you enter this text competition, we might pass your details on to the coppers. That just, he's joking. He means that he might give, you know, anyone who sends in a crime story, he might give their details to the police. The coppers means the police. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We certainly don't want to hear about any kind of stealing from people's houses or anything like that. We're just talking about low-level criminal activity.
Hit us with your story, Adam.
Well, my introduction to the shady world of crime came when I suppose I must have been about four or five. This is one of my formative memories.
Right.
Earliest memories that I've got stashed away in my brainium.
This is one of my formative memories. A formative memory is like, you know, one of the earliest memories that you have. And it's usually a memory of something that happened when you were a very young child that shaped you as a person. You know, like a memory of a very important event in your early life. You know, so it could be, you know, for many people, a formative memory would be like their first day of school. You know, the kind of shock of going to school for the first day. Or it could be a formative memory sometimes is like an accident that you have as a child. And just, you know, that shock that you have as when you're a young child. And you remember it for the rest of your life. And it somehow is a very important event in your early life. A formative memory. And he said, it's one of the earliest memories I have inside my brainium, I think.
Earliest memories that I've got stashed away in my brainium.
One of the earliest memories I've got stashed away in my brainium. Well, stashed just means like kept. You know, you'd stash something somewhere. Just means keep it somewhere. Like, you know, you would stash some chocolate in your cupboard, for example. And your brainium, well, brainium is like, to be honest, not a normal word. He just means brain. But this is just Adam kind of like changing the word just to be funny, right? So rather than saying, this is one of the earliest memories I have in my brain, that's kind of boring. So he said, it's one of the earliest memories I have stashed away in my brainium, right? So brainium is not a common word. No one else says brainium, just Adam. But he means brain. So it's one of the earliest memories I have in my brain, basically.
And we were at the corner shop. This is in the days when my ma and pa used to smoke.
I know the corner
cigs.
Shop.
Yeah. So we lived in Earl's Court, and we were at the corner shop. My dad was buying some cigs.
So the corner shop is just like a convenience store, basically. It's just like a little shop, and they sell newspapers, cigarettes, bread, milk, just essential things like that. And often they are on the corner, basically. So the corner of two streets, you get like a little convenience store. We call it, in the UK, we often call it the corner shop. He said he was there with his ma and pa. That just means his mum and dad. And this is in the days when my dad used to smoke cigs. Cigs. That's just, again, an informal word for cigarettes. A cig means a cigarette. Okay?
And I know that I was incredibly young because the only shelf I could see was the absolute bottom shelf. I couldn't see anything above that. And that's where all the sweeties were.
Sweeties, that's just a word, like a childish word for sweets. In America, they call it candy. 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 Right? In the UK, we call it sweets. And little children call them sweeties.
And someone had knocked a packet of Wrigley Spearmint gum off the shelf, and it was just lying on the floor.
Calling your name.
Yeah.
It was lying on the floor. That just means it was on the floor, right? Calling your name. So, you know, that's a bit like, if you can imagine, if you see a packet of chewing gum just lying on the floor, and it's, you know, it's almost like it's calling your name, going, you know, Adam, 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 steal me, take me, you know, Adam, that kind of thing, you know? I hope you know what I mean, because otherwise it's just a bit strange. But, you know, if you see something and it's calling your name, it just really wants you to take it. Yeah, all right, there you go. So he saw the chewing gum. It was calling his name. So it was like it really wanted him to steal it. Adam, Adam, steal me. I'm free. It's just free gum. Why don't you just steal me and take me home? That kind of thing. Right.
And I was the only one down there at that level. Mm. And I was looking at it, I was thinking, free gum, free gum. It's not on the shelf. And I remember very clearly the logic process that I used to lie to myself to justify this theft. Because even at that stage, I knew that it would be stealing. But I remember thinking, it's fallen off the shelf. They don't want it anymore. It's broken. And they can't sell that.
Yeah, the floor is no man's land.
Yeah.
Isn't that actually legally true? I think that anything on any floor anywhere is anybody's.
Yeah.
Now, Joe doesn't really mean that. You know, he doesn't really think that anything on any floor belongs to anyone. He doesn't really think that. He's just being ironic. He's just joking there. He's just being ironic about, I don't know, I think something to do with the fact that perhaps when you're a child, when you see things on the floor, you just assume that, you know, nobody owns them. So he's just making a joke about that, really, about the idea that if something is on the floor, that nobody owns it. So he's not really being serious. He's just being ironic. Could this be the mysterious British sense of humour? Possibly. But certainly not completely serious. A little bit ironic there. Okay.
If it's on a shelf, it's different. It belongs to the owner. But generally,
floor
the floors are free. They're like beaches.
Yeah.
You know, and the sea.
That's what Ronnie Biggs said in his defence, I believe.
Is it?
It was on the floor.
The gold fell on the floor.
Well, look, what's the problem? I don't understand the problem. It was on the floor.
So,
okay, he's saying that he Adam there talks about Ronnie Biggs. And Ronnie Biggs is quite famous in this country, because he's a famous comedian. He's not a comedian. He's a famous criminal. And Ronnie Biggs was a great train robber. And there was a very famous train robbery about 30 years ago or more than 30 years ago, I think. And it was one of the biggest robberies that ever happened in this country. And a group of criminals stole lots of money from a train. And Adam then made a joke saying that Ronnie Biggs's defence was that he just found the money on the floor. He just found all the gold and all the money on the floor. It was on the floor, it was on the floor, you know, like that. Another joke there, hilarious.
Anyway, cut a long story short, I shoved the wriggles in my pockles.
Anyway, to cut a long story short, very common expression, particularly when you're telling your friend a story or you're describing something that happened. You just say, to cut a long story short. And that basically means there are a lot more details. I could give you more detail about this story, but let me just move on. Let me just get to the main point. So to cut a long story short, it's just a very common expression that people use when they are trying to just tell you the basic details of a story. He said, to cut a long story short, I stuffed the wriggles in my pockles. Now, again, this is Adam just changing words to kind of make them sound funny. Wriggles just means Wrigley's. Wrigley's is a very, very famous brand of chewing gum, Wrigley's gum. So he didn't say Wrigley's, he said Wriggles. And pockles is just his word for pockets. Obviously, your pockets are, you know, everyone has pockets in their jeans. We use them to keep our money and our keys in our pockets, right? So, but Adam, just being funny, is kind of changing the word to make it sound different. I put the wriggles in my pockles, just means I put the Wrigley's gum into my pocket, right?
And got home and went into my room. And, you know, and I was fairly brazen about it because I didn't believe I'd committed a massive crime.
I was fairly brazen about it. If you're brazen about something, it just means you're kind of quite arrogant and overconfident about it. So this just means that, you know, although he had stolen some chewing gum, he just acted like he didn't really care. He didn't feel like he had to hide it. He was, you know, slightly arrogant and careless about it. Brazen. If you can imagine, for example, a brazen bank robber, that would be a bank robber who just walks very confidently into the bank without wearing a mask and just points a gun and says, "Give me all the money." And then the bank gives him all the money, and then he just sort of walks down the street with the money over his shoulder and the gun in his hand, kind of whistling like that, as if he doesn't care. So he was brazen about it. So we use the word brazen when someone does something bad or does something wrong, but in a kind of carefree and overconfident and arrogant way. All right?
But my
even
dad...
Even though you had.
Even though I had. I've done a bit of stealing of wriggles. Mm. And my dad found me happily chomping some wriggles.
Tricky to get rid of the evidence, right?
Yeah.
It's tricky to get rid of the evidence. That means it's difficult to, like, hide the evidence. Just to give you an example of that, in a murder, let's say a murderer kills someone with a gun, right? And what they do in order to hide the evidence, they will throw the gun into a river, okay? And what they're doing is they're getting rid of the evidence, throwing the evidence away. Evidence is like proof, something that will show the police that you committed the crime. Right, so that's evidence. So when police are investigating a crime, they search for evidence. And this is like bits of information, things like a gun with fingerprints on it, or maybe DNA. And it's all evidence which can be used to prove that someone committed the crime. So he's saying with chewing gum, it's difficult to get rid of the evidence. So what he's saying is that, for example, you can't swallow... You can't eat the gum because you can't eat chewing gum. This is kind of a myth that when you swallow chewing gum into your stomach, that your stomach doesn't digest it, that actually the chewing gum just comes out exactly the same in your poo, right? So, you know, it's difficult to get rid of the evidence. You can't hide the evidence by eating it, because the chewing gum will just come out the other end exactly the same. And the police will then be able to forensic it. To forensic something means to do some like special scientific analysis on it in order to identify things like DNA or fingerprints. If you watch the American drama CSI, then that's all that involves, like forensic evidence, you know, like looking at lots of evidence in a scientific way to forensic something.
Chew it. You shouldn't swallow it either, because it just comes out the other end exactly the same.
Exactly.
And the police can forensic it.
Yeah. And he said, "Where did you get this gum? I didn't buy you any chewing gum. You're not allowed gum." And I said,
"It was in the... I got it in... It was on the floor. It was broken."
And he said, "You've just stolen something. This is stealing, Adam. You stole this. You didn't pay for it. We could go to prison. If the police found out, you could go to prison."
There are kids in prison for stealing gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are kids in prison for stealing gum. Well, I think Joe is joking again. I don't know, maybe there are kids in prison for stealing gum, but I think that it's, you know, it's not a very serious crime, really. And I don't think that children go to prison for stealing gum. So, again, just a joke. It's just Joe being ridiculous. And then Joe kind of, Adam and Joe both get the idea of children going to prison for stealing gum and just start kind of developing the idea just because it's kind of funny, right? So that's why they start talking about children's prisons being full of gum. Let's have a listen to that, then I'll try and explain it.
And, you know, they come out and they're all...
at Wrigley's prison.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're all messed up when they come out. And apparently, yeah, it's awful in the Wrigley's prison. There's gum everywhere.
There is gum everywhere.
Okay, Wrigley's prison is kind of a stupid joke. There's no such thing as a Wrigley's prison. Wrigley's, as we know, is the brand of chewing gum. Yeah, what they're saying is that it's a Wrigley's prison. So it's, you know, what, just a prison for people who have been caught stealing gum? It's just ridiculous. He's saying, yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible in the Wrigley's prison. There's gum everywhere. Now, this is just a joke about prison, that actually in this country in particular, the conditions in prison are very bad. And it's not that there's gum everywhere, but in prison, actually, there's drugs. There's, you know, in adult prisons, it's quite common that there's a lot of drugs in prisons these days. It's terrible. So they're just making a joke about, imagine if, you know, there was a child's prison filled with kids who were caught stealing chewing gum, the conditions would be terrible. There would be gum everywhere. Just in the same way that if you have a prison for adults, which is filled with people who've been caught, you know, taking drugs, the conditions in that prison would be terrible. There would be drugs everywhere too. It's just a stupid joke.
Anyway, so I was very freaked out. And to make his point even more forcefully, my dad burnt the gum.
He said, anyway, I was very freaked out. I was very freaked out. So if you're freaked out, this is kind of an informal expression, which just means that you were kind of confused, basically. Freaked out. Yeah, it just means confused, essentially. Yeah. So Adam, you know, was confused because his dad said that he would go to prison, right? And then his dad burned the gum.
Well, your dad always does weird things at the end. Why did he burn the gum? Gum's not even flammable, is it?
Well, exactly. It took ages.
Gum's not even flammable, is it? Well, flammable means that it catches fire easily. You know, a bit like gasoline, petrol, those things are flammable. It just means that they easily catch fire. We also use the word inflammable. So that, in fact, these days both words are used, inflammable or flammable, and it just means that they easily catch fire. So you often get the word flammable or inflammable on a warning message. For example, near in a petrol station, you'll see that warning, you know, flammable, be careful, right? So he says, gum isn't even flammable. And I think it's true. It doesn't really burn. It just melts, you know.
All the gum kind of... I sat there.
But it's like a sort of a hellfire response, isn't it? It's like he's a Baptist minister.
That's right. Joe says, it's like a hellfire response. It's like he's a Baptist minister. Well, a hellfire response is, you know, the kind of response that you would expect from, like a kind of, let's see, a Baptist minister, you know, like a strict Christian minister, particularly in America for some reason. You know, that kind of strict American Christian kind of reaction, which would be, you know, see the flames burning, just like your soul will burn in hell for the heinous crime which you have committed. That sort of thing. So Joe is basically saying that Adam's dad is a bit over the top because he's reacted like a Baptist minister, a hellfire response.
You shall not chew the gum. Watch it burn, my thieving friend. And then consider whether you'd like some more Wrigley's. Watch the gum melt and the foil fail to burn. And then consider.
And that's what it was like. The foil wouldn't. The foil just went all charcoal-y and the gum just kind of melted and gummed up.
It had a kind of barbecue flavour. It was even nicer.
It smelt minty.
Did it?
It still smelled minty.
Minty flames.
Yeah. And the minty flames went on for ages.
Mint-flavoured flames.
Double any other length of gum, I would say, if it was burned. Anyway, so I'm curious to know if anybody else has...
So this is kind of like the most pathetic thing you've ever stolen.
Yeah, pathetic.
Is it, or is it like the thing you stole as a child that made you understand that stealing was wrong? Because I stole a Batcopter.
Did you?
Okay, now Joe tells his little crime anecdote, and he says, I stole a Batcopter, right? Now, a Batcopter is basically a helicopter which Batman uses. So you've got Batman, and also you can have Batcopter. So Joe stole a Batcopter. So let's listen to that anecdote. It's quite short. And then that's the end. At the end of that, that's the end of the podcast, okay? I will do a couple of other podcasts about anecdotes. Let's hear Joe's anecdote. And then that's it, the end of the podcast. Quite a long one again. Okay, right. So, Joe's anecdote. Here it is.
So this is kind of like the most pathetic thing you've ever stolen.
Yeah, pathetic.
Is it, or is it like the thing you stole as a child that made you understand that stealing was wrong? Because I stole a Batcopter.
Did you?
Yeah, from a little shop in a place called Bampton in Devon.
Batcopter's bigger than Wriggles, come
on. It wasn't that... Well, yeah, it wasn't that big a Batcopter.
How old were you?
About 7, 8. And I nicked it successfully, got out of the shop, went to play with it, but it wasn't enjoyable playing with it.
No.
It was miserable.
It's a dirty copter.
I felt I'd betrayed Batman as well.
Yeah.
You know? Because he stands for truth and justice and stuff.
Exactly.
And I was a thief, so I stamped on it.
Did you crush
yeah,
the copter?
I stamped on it.
Wow.
Because it was so unenjoyable playing with it, I destroyed it.
That's what crime is like, folks, you know? It's no fun.
If you don't feel that guilt, then you it might be a good idea to make a career of it.
Yeah.
But if you do feel that guilt, it's probably not for
but
you.
But if you don't feel that guilt, you know, that's you're going to end up in prison picking up soap, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. Briefly, Joe was in a shop, and he stole a Batcopter, that's Batman's helicopter, and he took it outside and he played with it, and he didn't enjoy the experience of playing with it because he felt so guilty, and he felt that he'd betrayed Batman, so he smashed the Batcopter. And that's it. So quite a short little story there. Right, so that's the end of this podcast. If you want to, you can read a basic transcript of Adam's story. And also, I'm going to print out some of the vocabulary which I've explained as well. So you can read that there. That's it from this podcast. Thanks a lot. Bye, 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 bye.
Coming soon to BBC One, a new crime investigation drama starring Luke from Luke's English Podcast. Luke is Jack Miller, a financial auditor and detective in London's Square Mile. Using the latest forensic techniques, Miller solves the horrific murder of a rich businessman, but must face the terrible consequences. CSI London, Tuesday evenings at 9 o'clock on BBC One.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.